He mostly read the Bible to motivate his people, his following, his African-American following, to inspire them, to give them a sense of the fear of God, a sense of the need, the obligation to obey God. But he had a belief that the Quran was the right book revealed by God, and that Islam was the right religion for his people and for all people, and that Muhammad was a prophet, a messenger of God. And he would often say to us, in fact, I don't know any meaning of Islam that I received when I was a follower in that organization, that Nation of Islam, than the one he would give. And he said to us, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Well, I always loved that message because I identified myself with the suffering African-Americans who suffered during our enslavement in this hemisphere, and who suffered after our emancipation from the slavery of the South, who suffered discrimination, rejection, social rejection, and two separate laws, one limiting our life and one giving full freedom to the lives of white folks. And I appreciate the message that said it was freedom, because we needed to be free. And justice, we needed justice. And equality, we needed equal protection under the law. So I identify strongly with the Nation of Islam and its message of Islam that was a call to embrace and believe in freedom, justice, and equality. Islam is a religion of peace, yes, but when I became more and more acquainted with God's attention to our own lives as human beings, and how God describes his own creation, the path of excellence and the path of ignorance and self-destruction, I came to know and appreciate myself as a human creation much more than I had appreciated myself before becoming acquainted with the Quran. And the more and more I read the Quran, the more and more I saw myself in higher picture and in a richer picture and in a more attractive picture and a more valuable picture. My perception of myself improved so much as I became more acquainted with how God pictures me, or humans, in his holy book. I would like to not really bring trouble to the audience, but some things have to be said if we are to really make progress so that we all can have peace together on this earth. Palestinians are victims. Palestinians are in prison. The whole people we call Palestinians are in a virtual prison. And the hardened Israeli government people have the key to let them out, have the key to lock them in. We have to look at the suffering of people, innocent people, all innocent people. And we have to look at the cruelty of people, all cruel people. I have been to Israel. I have been to the Palestinian quarters. I was welcomed into the home of some of the finest human beings I've ever met, Jews in Israel. I had dinner with one Jew at his home on Sabbath day. In fact, I participated in the Sabbath with them. I ate the Sabbath meal with them. Couldn't find a warmer person, couldn't find a more genuine human being, I don't think, anywhere. But I experienced the same as guests of Arafat with his people, the same. And I heard from his people and him, we don't hate Jews. Jews are our friends. Jews are our neighbors. And it's been that way all the time. What they meant is that before Israel was created, in 1947, I think it was, they had lived with Jews, and they had no intention not to stop living with Jews as friends and neighbors. One statement I read in the paper recently says, the professionals need to be called out of the Mideast situation. leave the people alone and they'll find their own peace. Maybe that would happen, but I doubt it. It's more complicated than that. But we need our professionals to be open and to have the moral courage and faith in humanity, if not in God, to listen to the complaints of all victims and do justice by all victims. When I think of the Holocaust, my heart cries for the Jews, the victims of the Holocaust. But also when I look at some of the rigid rulers, leaders now in Israel, I see a creation of Hitler. You can become yourself so scarred by trouble in your life as a people or by trouble in your personal life that you will become unhealthy and unfit to do justice by other human beings. I conclude my talk. Thank you for the opportunity. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
At this time, if anyone have any questions, please, there should be some mics. Are there mics where the persons can come and ask their questions? If not, please come as close as you can and raise your voice a little bit. Or if you say the question, I'll try to repeat it so we can get it on the tape, please. Yes.
pretty clear. Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Muhammad, it's an honor to be here, and I've heard you spoke. But I want to share a few quick quotes, make a comment, and then ask a question. Before September 11th, Peter Bayer, author of Religion and Globalization, refers to Asian and Middle Eastern Muslims in the following quote. Quote, Muslims are troubled that they are being asked to surrender the core of faith, the immutable sacredness of the Quran, as the price for inclusion in a global system currently dominated by non-Muslims. End quote. And after September 11th, Osama bin Laden said the following words.